Wayne's a little bit taller than I am, so I kind of have to wind the cord around here a little bit, Wayne, to keep it from dragging the floor. Pleasure to be back with you on this Sunday evening. We have absolutely had a wonderful day with you here from this morning's Bible class hour right down to the very present moment. We have enjoyed it, and we are in your debt, and thank you for every kindness and every show of friendship that you have manifested to me and Shana and Connor, again, from the time we arrived last night and no doubt to the time that we leave. Our thanks, of course, to Brother Wayne. Wayne, thank you for making the announcements. Thank you for the good work you have done and continue to do here, brother, and appreciate you and your good family. 10 years here with you, and I appreciate Brother Wayne sending us the bulletin here. We're able to keep track with you and love you by looking at it every week. Wayne gets it sent out very timely, and it's a well-organized bulletin online, easy to navigate and click right where you want to, and I appreciate that. Very, very good. In fact, we robbed a couple of little ideas off of y'all's bulletin online that use on ours. That we borrowed them, or maybe a better word, or borrowed those. So we'll get them back one day. But we appreciate that very, very much. Brother Scott, thank you for that song leading. You had a beautiful voice, and we've been leading and singing some beautiful songs, and that is wonderful indeed. Brutal honesty. A lot of people lead singing, but not everybody is a song leader. Brother Scott is a song leader, and I know you know that. Very talented song leader, and has a very good quality voice himself, and we appreciate that. And I saw you drove your Jeep tonight. Don't leave before I get to look that thing over. I may even want to get behind the wheel just a little bit if young Connor will let me. So, very good indeed. Brother Mike, thank you for the prayer. One we could all say amen to. Appreciate that very much. But Mike said just a moment ago that really is the end-all statement. At the end of the day, in the beginning of a new day, we've got to give God the glory. We've got to give God the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do." That covers everything, brother. "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's all about giving God the glory. But let me tell you what you already know before we plow into our new sermon for tonight. Too many churches of Christ are moving in the I direction. And again, don't take this the wrong way, but, you know, society follows our lead, do they not? That's why we have iPhones and iPods and iPads and I this, I that, and I'm not opposed to those products, don't misunderstand me, but we're a very I-centered, me-centered generation. That's come over into the church. You know that as well as I do. And a lot of our brethren are drifting toward giving the glory to themselves, one another, rather than giving the glory to God. And I'm bothered by that. I continue to be bothered by that. And my late grandfather would say we ought to get shed of that. That was one of his favorite expressions. He was born in 1910, and I conducted his funeral in 2005. He was 95 years old, a faithful Christian. But he didn't like something, whether it was a politician or something going on in the church. He'd say, "We ought to get shed of that. Just get shed of it." And I knew what he meant. And Mike, we ought to get shed of a lot of things all over the place, in my sometimes not so humble opinion. But be that as it may, brethren, thank you. And a pleasure to be back with you. Thanks to the elders for inviting me to come back here, as Brother Wayne mentioned, about 3 years later, and have a part in your fall gospel meeting. Pleasure to be with you. Let's get right down to the message of the hour. Let me invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. As Brother Wayne mentioned just a moment ago, here's what we want to do tonight. Our theme of the hour, the sermon of the hour, the every member concept of evangelism, the every member concept of evangelism. Let me begin by way of introduction with your Bibles open to Acts chapter 2. We'll get there in just a moment. Let me begin by way of introduction in saying this. The real secret, and let me just throw a couple little quotation marks up here. The real secret of the growth of the early church, of the first century church, was simply this. Listen to me carefully. More Christians taught more people more often, and the result was more converts. Let me say that one more time. Listen to me carefully. That's going to be critical to the rest of our sermon tonight. Bible's open to Acts chapter 2, theme of the hour, the every member concept of evangelism. And the real true secret to the growth of the early church, the first century church, was that, again, more Christians taught more people more often, and the result was more converts. More converts indeed. Real growth indeed. Before we get into the body of the sermon and look at the points that I want to put before you this evening to really serve as proof text of our proposition, let me just give you real quickly a sampling of the true, real growth of the early first century church that we're talking about. Very quickly here, Acts 2:41. Now, we looked at this morning, by the way. Then they did gladly receive His word, were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:41. 3,000 souls! Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. Howbeit many of them which believed were baptized, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Acts 4 and verse 4. 5,000! Only the men! And believers were more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Acts 5 and verse 14. Now, let's just think about that a minute before we plow forward with three or four more passages. Acts 2:41. 3,000. Day of Pentecost that we talked about this morning during the AM sermon, the first day of the week. Acts 4 and verse 4. Now the number in Jerusalem is up to 5,000, and that's the men only, the males only. Again, Acts 5 and verse 14. No longer, really, do we have exact numbers, but multitudes, both of men and women. Go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Acts 6 and verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied, there it is, in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith. The number of the disciples, Acts 6 verse 7, multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and then on top of that, a great company of the priests, the Jewish priests, were becoming obedient to the faith. That would be like us converting a bunch of Protestant denominational preachers today. You don't hear of that. We're not done yet. That's Acts 2:41, Acts 4:4, Acts 5:14, Acts 6 and verse 7. Let's add just two more. Go to, let's skip around a little bit. Acts 9 and verse 31. Acts 9 and verse 31. There's so many passages in the book of Acts alone talking about the growth of the first century church, Jerusalem and beyond, but we're highlighting just a few, a sample. Acts 9:31. Then had the church's peace. The King James says rest, but the Greek word eirene is the word for peace. Then had the church's peace throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Then our Bible teachers at Harding College years ago was the late Brother Avon Malone. I love Brother Malone. Wonderful teacher and even a better preacher. As a student, I used to go into the local area of Searcy, Arkansas, where Harding College is in White County, Arkansas, Central Arkansas. And I would drive out to some of the rural churches where Brother Malone, one of the big churches, would have it. He was too sound, too conservative. But the rural churches would have Brother Malone. I would go out, sometimes my roommate or others, to hear him preach. He'd burn the paint off the walls. After we paid for the auditorium, that dude got done. He could preach the word. Love that guy. And what he would say about Acts 9:31 is there is found there a formula for church growth. Peace plus edification equals multiplication. Peace. Acts 9:31 again. Look at it one more time. Then had the church's peace throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, that whole area, and were edified. And then doing what? Walking in the fear of the Lord. And the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Peace plus edification equals multiplication. That's how we grow. That's how we grew really then. That's how, man, we grow today in the very same manner. We do now what they did then. We can grow spiritually, and then we can grow numerically. Let me add this before we look at one final introductory verse, highlighting, mind you, the wonderful, remarkable, incredible growth of the first century church. And to remind you, I'm reminding you of what we're talking about tonight, the every member concept of evangelism. Not the elder concept of evangelism, not the preacher-only concept of evangelism, but the every-member concept of evangelism. In the New Testament, without exception, growth took place like this. First, spiritual growth, and then numerical growth. First, spiritual, then numerical. Oftentimes, we want to reverse that today, Scott. We want to do anything we have to do in order to get into the building. We want numbers. And our brethren are guilty oftentimes of playing the numbers game. And then afterwards, I've heard people say, then we'll throw the gospel at them. They want to run the gospel in the back door. They're ashamed of the gospel. Let's bring it in the front door. I'm not ashamed of it. Spiritual growth through the word of the gospel, and then numerical growth follows naturally and biblically from there. Let me give you one example of that, following on the heels of what we just mentioned. Take a final look, by way of introduction, Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. Acts 16:5 says, in your Bible and in mine. Then when the church is established, your translation may have strengthened in the faith and increase in number daily. Acts 16:5. And so the churches, the King James says, were established in the faith and increased in number daily. What? Established in the faith. Spiritual growth. Increased in number daily. Numerical growth. But that is one of several representative verses of the natural order of growth found in the first century church. Let's not reverse things. Let's not turn things on their head. Let's not approach things backwards, in a backwards fashion. Let's do things in God's way. The Bible way. We've already said, that we call Bible things by Bible names and we do Bible things in Bible ways. That's right. That's right. It was right then. It was right in my dad's generation. My dad is 77. It was right in his dad's generation. And my dad's granddad, that I mentioned this morning, the late James Daniel Futrell, born in 1866, died in 1948, was a farmer and a preacher in northeast Arkansas and southeast Missouri. My name is James Mel Futrell. James came from my great-grandfather, James Daniel. And I'm honored to be a preacher as well as he. I'm not a farmer. Used to raise cattle, as Brother Clayton knows. We've talked about that along with my family, but not a farmer like he was. He was a row crop farmer way back yonder, but also a preacher of the gospel. Brethren and friends, let's do things in Bible ways. Generations before us do so. We must do so tonight. The every member concept of evangelism. Here's what it is. I want to share with you five quick points tonight. We'll spend more time with the first point, but five quick points tonight. It's about 7:33. We'll try to be careful with our time, and right around 8 o'clock we'll put an amen to it, and the sermon will be yours. Point number one tonight, under the title of the every member concept of evangelism. Watch it now. Every Christian. Every Christian. And the next four points I state will all begin with the word every. Point number one, every Christian. Here's what I mean by that. Every Christian, in one way or another, must, as Brother Wayne has already mentioned, must be involved in evangelism. Obviously, God has limited the role of women in certain ways and has given obligations to men. We function differently. Last week, Wayne, the article I wrote for our bulletin was titled, Equal Roles or Equal Worth. Well, we don't have equal roles in the home or in the church. Men and women don't. husbands and wives don't. But we do enjoy equal worth. Not equal roles, but we do enjoy equal worth. So in capacity, or in the capacity of how God created us, relative to our sex or our gender, if you prefer, relative to what the Word of God says on the matter, we all have an obligation to evangelize. Every Christian, point number one, involved to their ability, to the will of God, involved in evangelism. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 says this, to the intent that now the principalities and powers and heavenly places, watch it now, might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according, verse 11, to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go back to the last part of verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 3. Watch it now. What is the obligation of the church? What has God told the church to do? Make known the manifold wisdom of God. That's our obligation. That's our job. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers and heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Who's the church? Acts 2:47 says, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those being saved. The saved of the church is the saved. So here's the point I'm making. If the church, at whatever locale they're calling, if the church is obligated to make known the manifold wisdom of God, and the church is composed of the saved, and the saved are Christians, then every Christian has an obligation to one degree or another, in one way or another, to evangelize. Surely we do. All of us do. My first field of evangelism is my family and then my friends. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My first field of evangelism, my own family. And I stand before you a blessed man, a privileged man. I've had the honor of and the privilege of baptizing into Christ all three of our daughters, Hallie, McKenna, and Connor. In fact, McKenna was baptized first some years ago, then Hallie was, and then after that, finally, Connor. What I want to build an honor. All my daughters are now my sisters, and I love that. My late nanny, who lived to be 103, my mother's mother, that was her favorite book article I ever wrote. All my daughters are now my sisters. My nanny had three daughters. My mother is the oldest of three daughters. And Shane and I had three daughters. And she thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. She had three daughters. Her grandson, oldest grandson, had three daughters. And her husband, my grandfather, baptized his three daughters into Christ. And I had the privilege of baptizing our three daughters into Christ. My first field of evangelism, my own family. And then my friends. Mark 5 and verse 19 says, and this may be, kind of rattling this over in my head, maybe my favorite passage, Ken, in all the New Testament about evangelism. Mark 5, 19 says, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. There's a passage on evangelism. In context, our Lord has healed a man. And he tells the man whom he has healed to go home and tell his friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. The Lord has healed us spiritually. Let's go home to our friends and let's tell them, Brother Mike, what great things the Lord has done for us. Remember point number one. Every Christian, again in one way or another, to some degree or another, has an obligation to evangelize. Finally, one final verse on point number one, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Easy to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 says in your Bible and in mine, Paul writing to Timothy, his son after the common faith, he says, and I quote, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Here's what we have there, Scott. Paul says, Timothy, you heard all these things from me among many witnesses. Now here's what you do, Timothy. You go and you share these, communicate these the faithful men. The Greek word for men there is generic, anthropos, men and women. And then they will teach others also. It's a domino effect. I teach you, and you teach someone else, and they teach another, and another, and another, and one domino knocks down the other, and we go right on along. Every Christian, the every member concept of evangelism begins with our point number one, with us individually and as families recognizing it begins with me. Every Christian, I've got my part. I must do my part. Point number two, every person. Every person has a right to hear the gospel. Every person has a right to be evangelized. And if every Christian in America is doing their part in evangelizing, then every person ultimately, over many years no doubt, with millions of New Testament Christians scattered throughout the globe, there's about 1.2 million members of the Church of Christ right here in the United States of America. Kentucky is in the top 10 of churches of Christ in the United States relative to numbers of congregations and members. I think you're like number 5 or 6. Alabama's number 3. Texas is number 1. Tennessee's number 2. Alabama's 3. Arkansas's 4. California's 5. I think Kentucky is number 6 as far as numbers of congregations. If every Christian is evangelizing, then every person, point number 2, will eventually hear the gospel. That's the Great Commission, is it not? Sure it is. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature, every creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15, and 16. I have been there in different ways and to different degrees trying to convert my UPS man for 14 years, Wayne. Hadn't done it yet. He is an awfully nice guy. Single man. Never has married. He is a hard worker. You see a lot of people who drive these vans or with the Postal Service or FedEx or UPS. Some of the people have got iPods or whatever they got. They got stuff plugged in their ears. Forgive me for not knowing all the terms. And some of them are on their cell phones and stuff. This dude that calls on us, he is Johnny on the spot, baby. He is kicking it out there and getting with it. He's got a good record with him. I like him. He's got a great work ethic. I don't know if I'll ever convert him. I've been with the same barber in Mountain Brook, Alabama, just a little bit from us in Birmingham. I've been with him for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years or whatever. A young man, just married. Just married. My wife and I bought him a wedding gift. We're going to invite him to our daughter's wedding next year. He's a Baptist, a fine young man. Fine young man. I don't know if I'll ever convert him. But I talked to him when he's clipping my hair. And I gave him a religious volume here recently. And I'm going to continue to do so. We don't have to guarantee the crop, but we've got to plant and water. God guarantees the crop, Brother Clayton. Now, you have to do some guaranteeing of the crop out here with your work. You know that better than I do. But spiritually, we don't have to guarantee the crop. We can't do God's job. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, 1 Corinthians 3:6. Our job is to plant and water. God will give the increase. God will guarantee the crop. I'm not going to do God's job. I can't do God's job. He helps me with His job. He gave me His only begotten Son. I've got His infallible, inerrant, inspired Word. He's created us as intelligent beings with the ability to think and to reason and to act and to do and to draw back and to go forward. All of that. Every Christian, number one. Every person, number two. When was the last time you had any type at all of Bible study with anyone? I'm blessed to have a wonderful, faithful Christian wife. My wife, Shannon, works at Brookwood Hospital. She is the secretary for the director of surgical services. And she comes in contact with a lot of people. She tracks payroll hours for the vast majority of the hospital. And she contacts a whole lot of folks. And found out there's a lot more members of the church doing the work there than we had ever imagined. And there's a lot of people that have troubled lives, and a lot of people that appreciate a woman who knows the Bible and is able to direct them to a passage of Scripture and to share with them this about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can all do something. Every Christian, every person. What can you do? Who will you work with beginning tomorrow? Or maybe you go in late tonight to work. Who do you vacation with? Who do your kids play ball with? Or sing in the chorus with? Or they're a part of Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or 4-H or what have you? My dad wouldn't let me join Boy Scouts, but I was a member of 4-H, Clayton. I love that too. Love that 4-H. But whatever, you know your activities, you know your life. Every person has a right to hear the gospel. Who could you share something with? Who could you share a little bit about the gospel of Jesus Christ with? You women, do you go to the beauty parlor, beauty shop, what do we call it nowadays? Where, maybe it's all the same place. Then you get, I used to tease my mama, she'd come in working for my dad's mama. I said, "Mama, you got your hair twisted." She went once a week, same place, same beauty operator. She called her a beauty operator. She got her hair twisted. I think that's really what they did. They twisted it up somehow. It'd go flat before the next time, and then they'd twist that hair up again. And I love mama. I love to have that. So you go to the beauty parlor, ladies. I'm not trying to insult you. I got to be more careful about choosing my words here. But I go to the barber shop. You go to the beauty shop. Or where do you get your hair done? Who could you talk to? Who do you travel with? Who do you work with? Who do you go to this with? Who do you eat lunch with? We all know people. Every Christian, point number one. Every person, point number two. Sometimes, let me be, again, for the third time tonight, brutally honest. And Wayne, let me just kind of share this with you since you're a fellow preacher. Sometimes brethren, and Wayne will back this up, sometimes I'm a little bothered when my brethren throw all of their contacts, their religious contacts off on me. They want to dump them off on me. I know I'm the preacher. They're supporting me to study, preach, and teach the gospel. Don't misunderstand me. But I want my brethren, part of my job, Wayne, is to equip them to be able to pursue evangelistic opportunities and not always dump them off on the preacher, Billy. Sometimes do it yourself. Go as far as you can. It just recently happened to me at Shades Mountain. A man still visiting, recently out of prison. He's got two strikes, one more, and he's going back, and the police have already been to our property, started arresting if our treasurer hadn't been there. I don't know how good of a prospect this man's going to be, but our treasurer made the contact. And then his tribe, and a wonderful man, our treasurer, but at the congregation at Shades Mountain, but then he's tried to shuffle the guy off on me a bit more. And I said, "Brother Jerry," I said, "You take him as far as you can." And I told this fellow, this Mr. Don, I said, "Don, go to Jerry. Bring this stuff to him first. What questions he can't answer, then you can come to me, or Jerry can come to me. Let's do our part, all of us. Don't dump it off on Brother Wayne. Don't dump it off on Brother Billy. Don't always dump it off on the local preacher or one of the elders. See how far you can go. You need help? You ask. Brother Wayne's there. Brother Billy's there. I'll be there. They'll be there. But go as far as you can. Every person has a right to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Surely at least one time. Point number three. The every member concept of evangelism. Every Christian. Every person. Watch it now. Every day. Every day. Go with me to Acts 5 and verse 32. We're going to shorten the points here a little bit. Every day, Acts 5, and verse 42 says, "And daily in the temple," there's our word, "and daily in the temple, and from house to house, they ceased not teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ," Acts 5 and verse 42. Every Christian, every person, point number three, every day. If every Christian is doing their part to evangelize, then ultimately, as I've already noted, every person will eventually hear the gospel. And they'll do that because we, every Christian, and we're talking about globally here, of course, that every Christian is involved in some way every day in living the Christian life. It may not be that all of us every day is evangelizing, but some Christians, Clayton, every day will be involved in evangelism. Go back to Acts 5:42. Look at the public and private nature of that verse. And daily in the temple, publicly, and from house to house, privately. What do they do? I love the negative wording, Ken, on this. They ceased not, according to the King James. They ceased not. They didn't quit teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Jesus is the Greek name, Iesus, means Savior. Christ is Christos, the Anointed One, the Messiah. They never stop teaching daily, preaching daily, Jesus, Iesus, the Savior, as the Anointed One, the Christos, the Messiah, the Christ Himself. Every Christian, every person, every day. Point number four. 5 points tonight on what has been a beautiful day. October the 28th, 2012. We're enjoying spending it here at Horse Cave and beyond. I think I've been in 3 counties today alone. That sounds pretty good. Not really, I guess, that big of a feat, but, you know, for people who don't know Kentucky counties, and what did I hear, 120 counties? We've got 67 counties in Alabama, 75 where I grew up in Arkansas, but 120 is a lot of counties. I'm going to go back to my brethren, I'll just tell you, I'm going to go back to my brethren and say, I was with my brethren and worshiping with brethren and fellowship with them in 3 counties on Sunday alone. They'll say, man, you're getting round, my bell's getting round. You bet. I'm not going to tell them any different, John. I'm not going to tell them any different. All right, back on track. Every Christian, every person, every day, point number four, everywhere. Everywhere. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's begin with verse 1. In verse 1, here's what Luke, the inspired historian, tells us. That there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and it was so great that they, the church, were scattered about through the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Think about that. The whole Jerusalem Church of Christ, because of this great persecution, Stephen were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, but not the apostles. They were able to stay. Everyone else was scattered. In the Judea, remember Jerusalem was really the capital of Judea. But Judea is a big area. And then we've got Samaria, Galilee, Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem and Judea. All of this biblical area, the state of Israel today, the Holy Lands, the Bible Lands, we call them, scattered about because of persecution. That was Saul, learned to be known as Paul. That was Saul's role in this. Drop down to verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. The King James says, hailing. That word hailing means driving out, literally. Driving out men and women committed into prison. Stop right there. Think about that. Great persecution against the church at Jerusalem. So great that every New Testament Christian there was scattered abroad to 2 regions with the exception of the apostles. Saul was behind this. He's making havoc of the church. He's entering into houses. He's not invited. This isn't some dude you ask for the new meal. He's coming on in. He's dragging out men and women, New Testament Christians, our brethren from 2,000 years ago, and he is committing them to prison. Many of them escape. What do they do? Look at verse 4. Acts 8 and verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8 and verse 4. Everywhere. Every Christian, every person, every day, everywhere. Therefore, one more time. Verse 4, Acts 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, who? The Jerusalem church. That were scattered abroad because of what Saul and others were doing. What did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. Every Christian, every person, every day, everywhere. I have lived in a number of places. I have lived in Pocahontas, Arkansas, and Searcy, Arkansas, and McDougal, Arkansas, and Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and Fairhope, Alabama, and Gaffney, Alabama, and Columbia, South Carolina, and now in Birmingham, Alabama. And I've lived in multiple houses in several of those places. Preachers are almost as bad as military folk for moving around. You're going to move around, but I'm privileged. Wayne is right. I appreciate Brother Wayne mentioning that. I've been privileged to be at Church Mountain. I'm about to wrap up 14 years there. And I'm blessed to be there. I hope they're blessed to have me, because we've enjoyed it. We've been able to put down roots, and our girls to go to school there. Connor has the rest of this year and one more year. We'd love to stay at least two more years and get her graduated and see what goes on from there. All of that to say this. Everywhere I've moved really because I wanted to. I've never been fired in my life, never been asked to leave from any work. I want to keep it that way. I try to keep things peaceful. Preach the word, never compromise the truth, be bold in the proclamation of it, but there's no need to be rude, ugly, or offensive. Just no need to do so. No need to do so. We can do what we need to do without doing that. I've never been persecuted out of my place. I've never had people, Clayton, come into my home and drag me and my woman out and commit us to prison or scatter us abroad, wherever that might be. Never has happened. We are a blessed people. If we were ever a blessed people, we are it. Every Christian, every person, every day, everywhere. Point number five, and finally, at 5 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, by every means. Every Christian, every person, every day, everywhere, by every means. And by that I mean by every legitimate means. Obviously, we're not going to compromise the truth. Obviously, we're not going to apostatize through a departure from the faith in order to move people to Christ through our own apostasy. Some brethren apparently think that's all right. I don't. You don't. We don't. By every legitimate means. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's begin with verse 19. Here's what Paul said in writing to the church of God at Corinth in the long ago, by every means. For though I be free from all men, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 and following. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto many, that I might gain the more. Watch it now. And unto the Jew, the Kenites of Jew, that I might gain the Jew. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Obviously, there he's talking about the Gentile, the non-Jew. And then, watch it now, those soul, 22, to the weak, the Kenites weak, that I might gain the weak. Here we are, watch it, last part of verse 22 and first part of verse 23. I am made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through the first part of verse 23. Listen to it one more time. I am made all things, 22 and following. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And Paul says, this I do for the gospel's sake. Every Christian, every person, every day, everywhere, by every means. Let's use every means available to us to evangelize. Let's use every legitimate means, every biblical means available to us to evangelize. The gospel, Wayne, as you so well know, has not changed, and we cannot change it. Or we can reread Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, and we know we cannot alter the gospel without bringing down the condemnation of God upon our heads. But you know what? Methodologies have changed. Wayne and I know evangelize utilizing computers and the internet. We evangelize utilizing all kinds, all forms of social media. People evangelizing via Facebook and Twitter and this and that. Old-fashioned email, I guess we would call it nowadays. However, we're utilizing methodologies, however they might change. We're utilizing them in the propagation of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. We're right in doing so. We're very right in doing so. And when we use these means and methods available to us today, we're doing what Paul did then, using different means and methods. Reread at your leisure Acts 13:1 through, really, Acts 22, and the three missionary journeys, so-called, of the Apostle Paul. He traveled on foot. He traveled on beast of burden. He traveled by ship, Mike. He traveled using every means available to him, Scott, and he preached the Word of God. This is Paul, who had once persecuted the church, was now, according to Galatians 1:23-24, preaching the faith which I once destroyed. And they glorified God in him, he said of the Galatians, because of what he had done in transforming himself from a murderer to the greatest gospel preacher, with the exception of our Lord, brethren and friends. The every member concept of evangelism. We can all do a bit more than what we do. There's something that all of us can do. But it begins with spiritual growth. Our own spiritual growth. You and I've got to know the book. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer, a defense unto every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Know the book. Know the Bible. Study it. Read it. Study it daily. And then your own, well, self-image will be stronger and greater and better, biblically so. Your confidence will be growing by leaps and bounds because of your greater knowledge of the Word of God. And you'll feel more confident. You'll have greater confidence in your evangelistic efforts. Do all you can. And when you're stumped, and we all preachers get stumped by this question or that, or don't have the answer at hand, we have to lock and look it up. Don't ever be ashamed to say, I don't know, but I will have you an answer. Could I call you in an hour? Could I call you tomorrow? Could I call you tonight? Bone up on it. Read up on it. Study up on it. Call up on it. Get that answer. Get back to him. Kindly yet boldly, propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to grow as God would have us to grow, as the church grew 2,000 years ago, it must be the every member concept of evangelism. Time is up. 2 minutes after the hour. Great to be with you all day long. I want to join Brother Wayne. What a wonderful picnic. A lot of brothers have potlucks. You maybe had a picnic. We had a potluck last time, I think, over at the school, did we not? That was mighty good. Without offending anybody, I think I like the picnic better than the potluck. I thought I know I did. Mighty good. Wonderful. Had a great time. Great facility. Appreciate every individual, every family. They're part of it, cooking food at home, cooking food there. I know some of the men did some grilling, securing the premises for us to gather together at. Everything worked out so wonderfully good. Leon led our prayer. We thank God for the food, and we ate that food. We ate it up. It was good. It was good. We enjoyed it. Thank you so very, very much. Could I do something for you tonight? Could I help you? Could Brother Wayne help you? Could we help you in any way relative to your soul's salvation? If you're not a Christian, we invite you to come, repenting of your sins. Allow Brother Wayne or one of the Christian men here to take your hand and theirs and to ask you the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? When you answer in the affirmative, Brother Wayne or again one of the Christian men will immerse you in water for the full forgiveness of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. You can take your part with the brethren here at Horse Cave or another church of Christ in the area, and you can work and worship the Lord returns until you die, whichever comes first. If you are a member of the Church of Christ and you need encouragement, you need strength that maybe we can help you with from God, let's pray to God. I believe in the power of prayer. You do. Let's do that. And if we can help you, let's do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.